Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we rank and categorize and list things, because everybody loves a list. This week, just in time for Halloween. Wait a minute. Isn't today Halloween?
Probably.
Why am I not in costume?
So. Just in time for today. It's Top 5 Scary Monsters, kids. This is one we picked up last time, so I guess it doesn't matter where we start. Matthew, why don't we start with you?
All right, I'm going to talk like this for the entire show. Blah.
Well, and my number 5 monster is actually one that I have loved for some years now, and my wife actually...
Wait a minute.
...well aware of this because I send her to the convenience store to get 6 or 10 cans a week. My number 5 is Monster Rehab. The Rojo Tea edition. It comes in this little red can with slashes down the front, like someone has slashed it open with their slashy claws. And it's kind of like a combination of a classic Arnold Palmer, your tea and lemonade, with a little bit of kind of like a cranberry flavor, which is really nice. It makes me feel like I have a urinary tract infection or something. That may just be a flashback to my childhood. Also, there is a chance that I've totally misunderstood this week's top five. So you guys can just, you know, point that out to me if that is the thing, the case.
No.
That's good.
Next one is going to be monster trucks.
Yeah.
Next up.
My next one is going to be the coffee flavored one.
I was going to say job search engine. Because by the way, if you continue to screw up 2 top fives in front of Steven, you might start having to use it.
Hey, first of all,
my number 5.
There's no cause for alarm.
My number 5 actually, he's kind of at the end of the Universal monster craze.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Universal monsters were this first batch of monsters that Universal at the time was a kind of a low budget movie company. It was one of the bottom tier movie companies. And so they started creating these monsters, one of which towards the end of the main original line was this one about this fish monster that lived in the Everglades or wherever that he lived. And he wanted to touch women's in bikinis.
The creature
from the Black Lagoon. Something about, you know, going out to the lake
mm-hmm.
and swimming and things brushing up against your legs freaked me out. And I always imagined I was going to be dragged down beneath by a giant gill monster. My number 5, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
And that guy is horrifying.
Yes, it is.
And I believe largely designed and created by a lady.
Interesting.
Cool. Very cool.
There you
he
go.
He has that very distinctive head, though.
Yes.
That I don't think I've ever seen a picture of it.
You've never seen Creature of the Black Lagoon? Zach.
Oh, you need to look it up.
Zach, look it up.
Okay.
Look it up right now.
I'll do that right
while
now.
You tell us your number five.
Oh, well, that's too many things to do at once, Steven. So I'll just tell you my number five.
You can't walk and chew gum.
When I was trying to figure out what my top five list was, I was with my fiance, and she said, you should do Mike Wazowski from The Monsters. I said, that's a good idea, but I can top it with The Yeti from the Monsters.
From Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, Monsters, Inc. Because
and also Monsters University, he plays a little small part.
Hey, oh, really?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
Yeah, the Yeti is one of my favorite parts in Monsters, Inc. because I like snow cones a lot. He lives in the cold, which I don't enjoy. So anything that lives in the cold must be a horrible creation. And he's funny.
That, sounds
my
like
number
Cliff
five.
Clavin.
I don't know who that is. Should I Google him too?
Ouch.
Frederico, what do you got for your number five?
Let's just start a list of things as I just Google. My number
Zach
five.
Zach on Google.
Yes. Fish with human teeth. Go Google that.
No, I've already
Zach,
seen
tell
that.
Us your,
no,
I mean, that weird one. Rodrigo, tell us your number five.
My number five is actually a group of monsters, but they're a cohesive group of monsters. These guys are really dangerous and really problematic. And have caused
Stephen's
a lot of
they're my number one, so just giving a heads up.
Those kids are darling.
Little monsters.
Yeah. Anytime I'm here, they're so polite, and everything that's on fire is clearly not their fault. my number five is the Monstars.
Best answer ever.
From Space Jam.
Nice.
Now, here's the deal with these guys, you guys. They went in and they tricked Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes into playing a basketball game against them. And then they went and they stole all the talents of the best players in the NBA. We're talking Gnarls Barkley. We're talking Bo Diddley. We're talking Wayne Gretzky.
We don't know.
We're talking Patrick Stewart. All of their powers. They got taken.
Don't forget H.M. Murdoch.
Yeah.
I hear he's one of the best third-string quarterbacks that the Boston Red Sox ever had.
We're talking Dan Marino. We're talking Doug Funny. All of the main basketball guys.
The great names in basketball.
Yes, all the grandmama. Actually, that actually was one of them.
The Super Globetrotters.
Yep. Yes, my number five, the Monstars.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
You win 15 internets.
Number four, Matthew.
My number four actually needs a little build up. Picture it, if you will. A dark night.
Batman?
In the spring of 1933. That's a night with an N. It's a cold, blustery evening. On the shores of Inverness, when a man looks into the loch and he sees a mysterious head rising from the water, and he says, "What the hell is that?" And so he takes a picture of it. And then people say, "Oh, we've been seeing that for years. That's the monster at the bottom of Loch Ness. The Loch Ness Monster." We're not very creative with names here in Inverness. We, you know, go down and ask my friend Bill the Gatekeeper and his cousin Angish the Sheep Surgeon. But the Loch Ness Monster, for years and years, why am I still talking like this? For many, many decades, the Loch Ness Monster has been repeatedly seen. And obviously, some of these have been revealed as utter hoaxes, but there's still that thread of belief that even though, you know, the famous surgeon's photograph, the one that everybody thinks of, the shadowy figure, was revealed to be a hoax. But then other people are like, but what about this one? Did you hoax this one? And the people are like, not yet. And so that little thread of hope that, yes, it could still be real, sticks around. People love this theory. People have, I mean, they have parties. They talk about this. This is one of the major things that people either love and or hate. If you live in that area, is people coming out and looking for the monster. And fascinatingly to me, a man named Sir Peter Scott actually has done some serious investigation into this. And at one point actually had, I believe it's a photograph or a sonar reading of just a close-up of what appears to be a flipper, this weirdly shaped flipper. And so he has clarified and classified and whatever-ified you do and created a taxonomy for this creature, Neseteros rhombopteryx, which basically means rhombus-finned monster. But fascinatingly, that particular name, and it is disputed, by the way, because not everybody agrees with it, because the anagram of Neseteros rhombopteryx is Monster Hoax by Sir Peter S.
Nice.
He claims this is an absolute coincidence. I say embrace synchronicity, you know, ride the disaster curve, be one with the universe. But whether it's real or not, and, you know, if you do have an opinion, that's awesome. I think it would be fascinating to think that maybe a plesiosaur somehow got trapped in land and the plesiosaur children still live somewhere in the Loch Ness. But either way, it's really awesome. And you have to love the legend of the Loch Ness Monster, my number four.
I had a friend in high school. He did a report over a Loch Ness Monster. I didn't know this, but there's actually a guild of warlocks that will stand around Lake Loch Ness and cast spells to protect it. Oh, his name was Napoleon.
His name is what?
Napoleon.
Wow.
My number four, I had to scratch off because I was reminded today of something that's even scarier than my original number four, and that is English children. Think about it. When you watch a horror movie and those children from the Village of the Dam come out with their white eyes, or you're watching that Doctor Who episode where all the little children get turned into monsters, and all of a sudden you hear the little voice going, "Mommy, come find me, Mommy. Where's my Mommy? I don't like him. I think I want him dead." Oh, it terrifies the crap out of me.
That's a really scary episode.
No, it's not like you know, my darling little monsters.
Right.
You know, they don't
have
scare
American
you.
Accents.
Yeah, they have crappy American accents.
They're all
English,
like, "Daddy, we
where's
set
mom?
The car on fire."
Possessed.
Yeah, mama.
Possessed English children, my number four.
They have to be possessed.
Well, most of the time they are possessed by something.
Anyone listening who is an English children, we don't mean you.
Unless
you mean
have
those
hair.
Other guys.
Zach, you're number four?
yeah. I'm looking at an image of the creature of the Black Lagoon. Very odd. Yeah. There's something weird going on inside of his mouth.
That's where he keeps his
yet.
Children.
That's his mouth.
He's like doing something with his tongue. I don't
know. That's where he
it.
Keeps the actor that plays him.
That makes sense.
George Peppard.
Let's see. Number four. Oh, number four.
George Peppard, yes.
My number four is a craze that has been going on for quite a long time. Comics, movies, TV shows, video games, all the good stuff. My number four is the zombie monster. Mainly because when things are dead, they should just kind of stay dead. I don't want to face that dilemma of killing a family member or a dear friend of mine to save my life. That's why I like the zombie things, and that's why my number four. I don't want to kill family.
I forget which comedian it was posted something on Twitter this week that says, "You know how you?" He goes, "I can't believe that you would rise up against the zombie apocalypse when I hear you scream at a spider."
No, I'm not saying I'm going out and hunting zombies by any stretch of imagination. I'm down in my room, tapped into the internet, hoping other people are doing things. I'm just gonna sit there. And
zombies.
It just rides it. I'm going to ride it out.
Ripe for the picking.
No, you don't eat zombies.
Rodrigo, what do you have as your number four?
My number four is a creature that when you look at it, it looks a certain way. And when you are not looking at it, it looks different. It is something that as long as you have it in your sight, it's not doing anything, but as soon as you turn around, it starts moving towards you, comes after you. I'm talking about, of course, the booze from Super Mario. You look at them, and they cover their eyes, and they're like, "Oh no, I'm a shy ghost." Then when you look away, they're like, "I want the warmth of your soul. I haven't eaten a plumber in days." So, yes, they are
ghosts that are mischievous and will try to get you when you're not looking at them, causing you to have to move in unusual ways so as to keep them in your line of sight. And of course, the ultimate fright in that game, when there's a boo on either side of you, and no matter which way you turn, one of them is going to get closer to you. Here's the thing. You talk about maybe some Doctor Who villains, maybe some popular internet villains.
Yeah.
They're boos.
Mm.
What internet villains?
I don't want to say if it's in somebody's list.
All right.
Oh.
Cool, Rodrigo. Number four, the booze. And not what I'm drinking tonight.
Mm-hmm. Water.
Although that does create monsters in its own.
Oh, yes. You have no idea. Get them off. Get them off. Matthew, are we at number three already?
We are already at our number three.
Wow, this episode is moving fast because we know that your doorbell keeps ringing every
Bing
5
bong.
Seconds.
Bing bong. Hello,
candy.
Did I get a feed?
Candy. Hello. From
While Rodrigo was talking, I did manage to transfer to get out of my Edna Mode costume into my secondary costume, which, of course, is a vampire, dolphin, mutant, cyborg.
My primary costume is a big bulky tank, and then when I get out of that, I'm a motorcycle with a wheel that turns really weird.
Nicely handled. My number three. For those who aren't familiar with the Major Spoilers podcast, and if you're not, why not? Go check it out right now. We'll wait. Okay, we won't wait. Check it out after this show. I'm a comic book guy. And dating way back to the 1970s, even earlier than that, but in the 1970s, I believe you get just a smattering of some really monstery monster heroes, because the Comics Code Authority that was put in place in the 50s to keep there from being horror comics, basically to put the horror comics people out of business, but that's neither here nor there, started to loosen up, and you got these guys who were creepy. And my very favorite is a character who is monstrous, but also incredibly tragic in his own way. Trying to save the life of his wife, Alec Holland grabs a bomb and runs out into the swamp trying to get away. The bomb goes off in his face, and he rises from the swamp as the Swamp Thing. But later it is discovered that the Swamp Thing is not Alec Holland. He never was Alec Holland. He never will be Alec Holland. He is basically a creature imprinted with the mind of Alec Holland, who then has to try and find his way through life. And some of the Swamp Thing stories that are told are absolutely blood chilling. There's an episode with the Woodrow the Floronic Man, where he starts taking after people with a chainsaw, and it's utterly terrifying. And the Swamp Thing just kind of shows up, and he's never quite a superhero. He always remains a monster. He always remains a monstrous presence, but he still somehow manages to come in and do the right thing. And there's a beautiful moment in the Alan Moore run where Etrigan the Demon is fighting this other demon, and Abigail Holland, who's, of course, his wife, or going to be his wife in the near future, is like, "Oh my God, there's those two monsters." And the Swamp Thing says in his quiet way, "No, three monsters." And then he lays into these guys and, you know, knocks them out and kind of saves the world, because, you know, that's what you do when you're a monster who floats around. But also, he got to see Adrian Barbeau mostly topless in the 1980s. And ironically, for such a minor character, he's probably had some of the most media exposure of DC superheroes. He had two theatrical movies. He had his own live action show. He had a comic book.
He had an animated show and a live action TV show. Actually, might have had two toy lines, because I think
he had two toy lines. One from the show,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And one from the cartoon.
Yep.
So there was the cartoon version. There was a point where you could go out and actually have to argue between versions of Swamp Thing the same way you would between, you know, polar action Batman and missile action Batman, which is fascinating. And I think, you know, that kind of pedigree explains why 40, 45 years after his creation, we still have an ongoing monthly comic book featuring Swamp Thing, my number three monster. He talks like this with
pauses.
Guys, man does not respect the green.
Four.
All right, my number three is the devil.
Whoa.
The devil.
No!
It kind of shows you where the devil ranks for me. He's only at my number three, and he's the devil.
Is it because you're only intimidated by him because he's so much better at playing the fiddle than you?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Is there a certain iteration of the devil?
You know, there's a lot of really good devil moments. I mean, you can see the devil in South Park, where he sings, you know, how he wants to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the devil in Miss Jones. you've got the robot devil from Futurama. Mm. But I think that's what the devil from Futurama is based on, the old Scratch devil.
Right,
you know, this
right.
one that comes in all slick-like with the little goatee beard. And strikes up a deal and a bargain with you. And when you try to break that deal or bargain, he gets real angry and shows you some of his scary spirit. But then you just whip out a letter from your wife and says, look, I sold my soul to her a long time ago when I told her I loved her. Sorry, devil's bad. He's like, I shall curse your children from the day. Oh, wait a minute. That does explain a lot. The devil. What? My number three.
You can't just have your characters tell people how they feel. That makes me feel angry.
The devil, my number three. Zach, what do you got as your number three?
My number three comes from the land of Star Wars. Ooh, Mandalorians. And my number three monster is the Sarlacc.
Ooh. That's a pretty cool monster.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, what do we see of the Sarlacc in the movie?
Like, a mouth.
And some tentacles.
Pretty scary. Like that's a pretty high spot just from that kind of thing. Have you ever seen a full picture of the Sarlacc? It's a very deep down monster. He's very big and
he
has many tentacles that go all the way out, over the sand.
Also, he has a lot of street cred. He's a deep and down monster.
It's even more terrifying when you see him because it looks like a tree grew upside down. And it's stretching out over the sand, but it's actually eating people instead of like absorbing nutrients from the ground.
Right.
That's terrifying.
No, that is scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I know one crosses the dune sea by foot.
That's right. One does not merely walk into Mos Eisley.
So, like a camel. Okay, so write down things for you to watch. Dune.
Dune.
And also,
that's a book.
Yeah, or read. Yeah, or read.
Yeah.
And also Beetlejuice while you're at it.
Beetlejuice. I've seen Beetlejuice. Did someone say something about Beetlejuice?
Well, there's the sandworms.
There's a thing, Be careful with Beetlejuice because there is language.
Beetlejuice.
My 9-year-old
was
sitting,
that guy?
Beetlejuice.
When Beetlejuice F-bombed, and she looked at me with a face like,
Beetlejuice
is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm done, I guess.
I'm going to have to change mine to Candyman. So what do you have for your number three, Rodrigo?
My number three is if you listen to our other podcast, which you should because it's good for you.
Yes.
9 out of 10 dentists recommend Zach on Film. And recently we talked about a particular type of monster on Zach on Film, and I don't mean racism.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of the time when we think of monsters, we think of this like relentless, like single large entity coming at you, or, you know, something that is like very scheming and scary in that way. But there's something that's particularly creepy about a group of small monsters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And for me, the quintessential group of small monsters are gremlins from the movie Gremlins. They are crazy. They are mean, very mean-spirited, and, you know, to a certain degree, there are certain monsters who just want to eat you.
Yes.
Or certain monsters who just want to scare you or keep you away from whatever they're protecting or whatever. Gremlins are malicious, and they will hurt you and then kill you, and then kill your dog.
So, just for fun.
Just for fun, because they're tiny little bastards.
And if you live long enough, you'll be entertained by watching Polly Holiday fly across the street.
My number three monster, gremlins.
Excellent. We're moving through this list pretty quickly.
We are.
Matthew, what do you have for your number two?
My number two was almost my number one. And the only reason it's not, we'll get to when we get to our number ones. But my number two is known as the King of the Monsters. Monster 001. Rising from the sea outside Japan. In 1954, after a possibly an atomic bomb explosion, we don't know, these things happen. Gojira, known to the Americans as Godzilla, my number two. It's interesting if you actually go back and look at this character, because he looks kind of like Rodrigo's favorites, a dinosaur. But he also kind of looks like an iguana, and he kind of looks like a fat stuntman in a rubber suit. But apparently his name in Japanese is designed specifically to be a combination of gorira, or gorilla, and kujira, whale, because apparently he initially was designed to be half gorilla, half whale. And that,
well,
right,
if you look
there,
at the early face, it looks just like
the
gorilla.
Face, yeah, the face looks very mammalian, definitely. Yeah.
And that's fascinating to me, because a gorilla whale seems like the scariest thing ever. But the thing about Godzilla that's fascinating, when I was a little kid, there was a Godzilla cartoon on Saturday morning where he was the hero.
And it also had baby Godzilla in it.
Godzuki. Yeah, had a killer theme song, which I'm not going to sing here because it will then be stuck in my head until St. Swithin's Day. But no matter what you put in front of him, whether it be, you know, the Japanese Navy, King Ghidorah, Jigon, Mechagodzilla, Megalon, Biollante, Majajiras, Mothra, Rodan, Anguirus, all of these guys, they fall before the might of Godzilla. I can't remember if he actually won the Godzilla versus King Kong, because that movie is almost too terrible for me to love. But
have you seen some of the, I think some of the early sketches of Cloverfield, of the Cloverfield monster, are actually like a whale gorilla, like a giant blue whale with like gorilla arms.
That's fascinating. Well, and Godzilla may be the only monster that I'm aware of to actually get his star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Godzilla birthed an entire genre of films for all intents and purposes. I mean, Godzilla is the man. He's the guy to beat. And if you go and, you know, the things that I really love in life are things that explode and guys in superhero suits. And I do mention often my love of the Power Rangers, the Super Sentai franchise. If you go back through there, it's giant robots fighting giant monsters. It all comes back to Godzilla. And in my favorite season, the 35th anniversary season, they actually have a mecha that is clearly Godzilla, right down to the roar and the breathing fire. But it's not from the people that own Godzilla.
Right.
So you don't see as much of this particular monster as you do its robot incarnation. But you know you're in for it when you hear the announcer scream, "Gojurex!" I'm like, that's Godzilla, man! My kid actually has a, you know how you have those ponies on a stick? And in the 1930s, that was a toy. You'd pretend to ride a pony head.
Yes, she has
a Godzilla.
Oh, awesome. I thought that's a Godzilla appetizer.
Yeah.
Pony on a stick.
Pony on a stick.
She actually has a Godzilla pony stick that she can ride around with a little thing. And if you push the button under its head, it goes, it is the greatest toy ever.
I suddenly have a hankering for some Blue Oyster Cult music.
Yes. And interestingly, for all of my love of the character, anytime Ferris Bueller gets involved, I'm done. So, uh-oh, he heard me. You hear him? He's coming for you, Zach. They're coming to get you, Zachary.
I'm deep within a bunker. It's okay.
That's true. My number two, Godzilla, King of the mother effing monsters.
I think we did include Blue Oyster Cult's Godzilla in our top 10 music or songs for robots versus monsters.
Maybe.
That we did for Major Spoilers that George and I did.
Yeah, a long time ago. Check it out. Majorspoilers.com. Look for it under the, I don't know, feature
top,
section.
Top 10.
Top 10 section. Yep. You know, you fight a gelatinous cube in Dungeons and Dragons and most people are just like, pshaw.
Pshaw.
Blow it off. Gelatinous cube. Just fight a giant slime mold in World of Warcraft. Simple. Hack it to death. But you're a young child, age somewhere between, I don't know, 2 and...
37.
No, 6 maybe. 5 definitely. Somewhere between the age of 2 and 5, and your dad is watching a Saturday afternoon movie, or maybe it was a Sunday afternoon movie, and it features that gelatinous cube chasing down Steve McQueen in a movie theater.
Oh.
Never. And just devouring everything in sight. Creepiest scene is when the thing from outer space, the egg pod, hatches, and this old man picks it up with a stick, and the slimy thing starts going down the stick, and then jumps onto his hand and starts devouring him. Now, granted, there was a movie made much later that is a little bit more terrifying and gross, but as a young child, and this is why I forced my child to watch very scary movies at the ripe age of 2 and 6, is so that they will also
down,
be terrified.
You're going to watch this thing.
So that they too can be terrified.
It's the Green Mile.
By The Blob. The 1958 The Blob just terrifies, still today, gives me the creeps. And I remember, that was stuck in my head so much as a kid, The Blob, especially that scene where the pod cracks open and a thing comes out. I remember going over to a babysitter's house one time, and outside the back porch, something was laying on the ground that looked like the pod from The Blob. And I remember just freaking out, trying to get in the house, pounding on the door as hard as I can. Just let me in. And they were like, what are you freaking out about? And I was basically, that's the thing from outer space. Got to kill us all. Quick, throw it in the freezer. You touch it, not me. The Blob, my number 2. Zach, what you got for number 2?
My number 2 scares me on 2 different fronts.
Okay.
In one form, it walks among us. Can't tell who is human and who is monster.
Uh-oh.
In one form, it stalks me in the dark and prowls, waiting for a chance to jump on me and snap my neck and I die.
Is it Rodrigo?
No. Rodrigo is much too cuddly to do that.
Well, that's how he breaks your neck. He wants to just cuddle with you.
Yeah. Zach, you don't want to know about the original fourth member of the podcast team.
Okay.
No one ever heard from Brian Epstein again.
My number 2.
We're not saying Rodrigo killed him. But
I'm not saying not.
Yeah. My number 2 is the werewolf.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, it is me.
Stay on the road.
Yes.
And you should be fine.
Yeah. The werewolves are scary because, one, humans are scary, mm-hmm. and it can be a human. And it can also be a wolf and will stalk you, and you will not see it coming, but you will hear it long distance away from its menacing howl.
I wonder if there's ever been a werewolf story where their werewolf is a serial killer. In his human form, he's a serial killer, and then he's also a werewolf.
Yeah.
Wait, don't give it all away. This is good intellectual property, man. Write that down.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. You know, like that'd Hannibal Lecter meets Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, that is scary, yeah, Zach. Werewolves are scary.
Yeah. Okay, how about this? When he's a person, he is a serial killer. When he's a werewolf, he's a detective trying to catch himself.
Detective that would, werewolf.
So it would be like teen Dexter.
Yes.
Number 2, the werewolf. Good one there,
he
Zach.
He also plays
classic.
That is a classic monster right there. What have you got, Zach? Or Rodrigo? Nope.
That one's Zach.
This
one's Rodrigo.
Hey, you shaved your beard off. I can't tell the two of you apart now.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Really?
Yeah, because he's been growing his for 4 hours and took over my facial hair with force.
They both have the glasses and the hair and the cunning good looks and the stylish clothing.
That's true. I'm like a shorter, fatter, weirder Zach.
Plus, my eyeballs are sloughing off. So,
yeah, that's
you know,
true.
Makes
you
it hard are to tell. Severely vision.
Between both of his eyeballs, Steven has like half an eyeball.
Okay, here's how I remember it. If he looks kind of like that Del Toro guy, it's probably Rodrigo.
Benicio?
And if he looks, yeah, Benicio Del Toro from The Usual Suspects. He's a handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he looks kind of like the drummer for the White Stripes.
The drummer from White Stripes is female.
Lady. Then it's probably Zach.
All right, well
burn.
While we're at it, some
ooh,
of the
Wicker Man, is that on somebody's list?
Since we're completely off topic, one of the supposed etymologies of my last name is Son of the Wolf.
Oh,
which really? Of course, Zach's last name is in fact Wolf.
Yeah.
So.
What the?
Huh.
Just trying to think. There wasn't there a? No, I'm thinking of something else. Never mind.
Hmm. Interesting aside.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that sentence went nowhere.
Back to a show,
huh?
So, there is a monster that's fairly recent, but the trope that this monster embodies actually has existed for a long time. This is a monster that looks like a person. It's very friendly.
Is it Matthew?
He said friendly.
Oh.
Yeah. No, my number one is Matthew.
if it looks like Penn Jillette got into the buffets in Vegas. It's
but
probably
my number one is Matthew, but only when he's wearing his wrestling mask. this is a monster that's very friendly, invites you in, and says, "Hey, I'm gonna like all the stuff that your parents don't let you do. I want to let you do it."
Is it no?
All the stuff.
Steven.
All the stuff that, yes. That's right.
My parents never let me stay up this late.
So you better be careful. All the stuff that you want to do, you can just do. All this, like, all the stuff that exists in your actual house exists here, except here it's better. And all that she asks is that you stay with her, and that you let her take out your eyeballs and replace them with buttons. I'm talking about the Beldam, or as she's more frequently referred to, the other mother.
Yes.
From Coraline.
You know, I did not think that that movie was going to be that terrifying.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yes.
Thank
I did
you.
Not think that that movie was going to be as terrifying, and I let my oldest son watch it.
Yeah.
And he woke up in the middle of the night. He's like, "Dad, I'm kind of scared."
Yeah.
And he's never done that before, but he kind of wants to. He was like,
"Is this?
Can we watch that movie again?" He's like, can we watch it?
Yeah,
I think he thrives on a little bit of the scare.
Sure.
Is this an animated movie?
Yes.
This is a an animated movie. I think technically it's CG, but it's made to look like
a stop motion.
Okay. I remember seeing
it's based on a book by Neil Gaiman, which apparently the book itself is fairly different. Like there's like entire characters that are in the movie that aren't in the book and vice versa, but I haven't read the book. But I think the crux of the thing is the
other
same.
Mother.
That's like that's terrifying.
You should watch it if you haven't watched it.
The movie also features the other father who sings a super short, really awesome song by They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
Like it was actually written by They Might Be Giants, which is really, I don't know. Like anything that involves They Might Be Giants, I'm immediately drawn to because they're hilarious. But anyway, yes. The other mother from Coraline.
Wow. That's
very
really
cool.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
Now it is time for our number ones.
Our number one.
Matthew, what do you have as your number one monster?
Well, I spoke about my number two. And my number two, as I mentioned, was the King of Monsters. And you'd think that that should be your number one. But then I started thinking about the rationale behind what became my number one choice. This is a monster who was transformed from a normal human into a terrible, disgusting form, as many monsters are. But the fascinating part is, by being transformed from a human into this otherworldly, supernatural, rotting form, we actually discover that it was the human who was the monster all along. Turns out it was man. So, picture it with me. It's the 1950s and or the 1970s, depending on how time dilates. A very rich man lives in the bayous of New Orleans, treats everyone terribly, treats his children, treats his wife, treats his servants especially terribly, to the point where his gardener finally snaps and stabs him in the heart with the shears, and then takes his corpse out to a man named Papa Shango, who raises him from the dead, and Simon William Garth, who was an utter monster as a human, comes back from the dead as a mindless zombie, but slowly starts to remember bits and pieces of his life. And though other people are controlling his destiny, starts to remember what it was like before he became a monster and after that became a zombie. And throughout his short existence, he actually comes to terms with being a zombie and how that means that he might no longer be a monster, and actually manages to redeem his life and earn back his humanity by no longer being human. It's a really wonderful tale. It's a fascinating bunch of stories. And it's the main reason why, if somebody says, "Hey, did you hear that the zombie is back at Marvel?" I say, "No, he's not." Because Simon Garth earned his humanity back and died as a normal man in the arms of his loved ones. And that was the end of his story. And you can't tell me anything different. I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears and I'm going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. La, 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 listening.
Which also, by the way, totally applies to Swamp Thing, because he's gone back and forward between being Holland a few times since that run.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's only the fact that Simon Garth, the zombie's story, is so affecting to me that I actually let myself get away with having two comic book type examples on the list. Usually I try to avoid that, but it comes down to a point where, yes, he was a terrible, terrible monster. And by becoming physically as monstrous as he was emotionally and psychologically, Simon Garth actually turned himself back into a normal person. He redeemed himself by becoming as horrible on the outside as he always was on the inside. It's a really awesome tale. I highly recommend you check it out if you get the chance. And if you don't, maybe somebody could write it for Major Spoilers, he said to himself, hinting broadly. Hmm. My number one, Simon Garth, the zombie from Marvel Comics.
Cool. My number one, people, if you know me, you would think, oh, Lovecraft. All the Lovecraft monsters would be on this list. And surprisingly, they're not.
Right.
Because even though Yogg-Sothoth and the Great Cthulhu and all the elder gods. Yes. Yeah. Even though they are terrifying.
Yo-Yo Ma. Barbara Streisand.
Even though they are really terrifying, they're kind of funny in a way. You know, just this big old fat guy with tentacles like spaghetti hanging down his mouth. Hey, you guys going to go crazy?
So your
what?
Number one is me. Awesome.
Yes, my number one is Matthew.
I really like spaghetti.
At the Olive Garden. No, my number one are aliens. And we could go two ways on this. You could look at it in the H.R. Giger way or the Geiger way. But really, when I started thinking about it a little bit more, what really terrifies me are not only the aliens from Alien, but also the Thing from The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the xenomorph alien.
Right.
The one that can adapt to any shape, size, creature, and when you're least expecting it, burst from the chest and choke your face out.
No, it bites me.
And tries to throw Sigourney Weaver out the airlock.
Yeah.
Those are the kind that I hate. The xenomorphs. And again, if you're a little kid, young kid, your parents are like, oh, you're 10. You can stay home by yourself for the weekend. Here's some money. Order a pizza. And oh, by the way, there might be a storm coming up tonight. You sit down. You say, oh, I think maybe I'll give this Aliens movie a chance. Mm-hmm. And then it's thunderstorming outside and the aliens are jumping out. And then all of a sudden you see a giant shape move past your window. And then you realize the horses got out. But only after you wet yourself, because you thought it was an alien coming from you, for you.
Parents come home, the couch is on fire, all the furniture is in the yard. Yes.
It's the chicken heart! Jell-O spread all over the floor. The xenomorph alien is my number one, because they can be any one of us. Yeah. Zach, what do you have for your number one?
My number one shares a characteristic with number two, in that it lurks in the dark. It's hard to see it coming.
Is it Matthew?
No.
It is not. I may be a lot of things, but a lurker ain't it. Subtlety, not so much my strong suit here.
I was
hiding.
I was introduced to this monster.
I'm invisible. No one can see me.
One of our other podcasts, Zach on Film.
Oh.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh.
So now, rack your brain. What could it be? What could it be? What could it be? There's not very many options.
It's D.W. Griffith.
Yeah, almost. My number one monster lives in the ocean and is a giant shark.
Pepe the Prawn.
It's Jaws.
Oh, it's Jaws.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Yep. Well, I mean, Jaws in the real sense.
Or just
is
great that, white sharks in general.
Well, great giant white sharks.
Well, although specifically, yeah. it could specifically be the shark from Jaws.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the shark from Jaws doesn't behave like an actual shark.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
It like comes after your ass.
Yes. That's what
they
I don't
you
want.
Later it's a voodoo shark.
I don't want the sharks that are played up on like Shark Week and crap. Like, oh, frick, they're out there and they're going to eat all of us. Because I like the ocean, but I don't want things in the ocean coming to kill me while enjoying the ocean.
Well, let me tell you this, Zach. If you ever see a shark in the ocean and you are in the ocean, get out of the ocean.
No, absolutely. But that's
don't
why,
hug a shark.
Because, you know, sometimes
not so much a problem.
Depending on where the beach you're at, it'll then tide. You can go pretty far in the ocean without the water getting above you. But when you get above that water level and you have to start kind of treading a little bit, then that's when, what if there's a shark underneath you? You don't see it coming.
Oh, have you not seen Shark Week where the seal is just lounging out on the seal's just lounging on the shore and this great white just rushes out and grabs the seal and then lets the waves draw it back in?
It like comes out with a machine gun. It's like
it's like the title card of the
that's why I don't go in the ocean anymore.
Yeah.
At the end where you're just standing
there. I'm afraid
there
the creature from the Black Lagoon is going to drag me out and feed me to the sharks.
That's right.
Yeah. That's my number one.
Watch a documentary. It's on Netflix now called When Fish Attack to see some really gruesome fish attacks. And also possibly the stupidest person in the universe is in this. Like, You will hear this person tell the story of how he was attacked by a fish, and you will say to yourself, there's no way you don't deserve this, you stupid man.
I haven't watched Jaws until a couple months ago on Zach on Film, but everyone knows. I mean, you know who Jaws is.
Right.
So when we were young...
Look how diehard it's Jaws.
When we were young, we go to the lake. I convinced my cousin that Jaws was in the lake, and she did not swim the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Aww,
and this is why you're going to burn in hell, Zach.
Mean.
Yeah, but the devil's only the number three.
Who's the real monster here?
Yeah.
Zach.
Yeah, I was going to put humans. I was like, no, nah, that's too
introspective. Turns out it was Matt.
That's too much.
Turns out it was Matthew.
Yeah.
Rodrigo, wrap us up with your number one. Oh, you already gave us your number one.
Nope.
Oh.
That was my number two.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what's your number one?
My number one is something that is probably like that was very scary to me because I first encountered it as a child. Like other people and be like, oh, well, that lady from before is scarier. But I think that the fact that I first encountered this creature when I was very young really, really made it extra scary.
Chupacabra?
No. No, we keep those as pets.
Chaka Khan?
Also, no.
Yeah, okay.
No, this is from a great movie that is scary at times, but really more of an adventure type situation where a brave young man is reading about another brave young man who is trying to save a girl without a name. I'm talking about the scariest monster ever for me, Gamork. From The NeverEnding Story. This is an enormous wolf that lives that hides out in a cave, and it's a wolf that's like bigger than a horse.
Yep. Huge.
Actually, whose head is probably bigger than a horse.
Whoa.
And he talks
like this.
And he meets the hero, and the hero starts talking to him, and while they're talking, they both realize, like, because he's chasing after the hero of the story, and while he's talking, they both realize that they're talking about each other, which makes for a very tense scene.
Which is interesting that you mentioned that one, because he's not even the big bad
no,
of the
not.
Movie.
He's not. He's
so
not.
That tells you that the nothing is even scarier than...
No, and it could be, but as a representation of the minions of the nothing, then...
He is a good one.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
It might not hold up.
Me either.
I don't know. You see a giant flying dragon dog and, you know.
Yeah, he's all great. And he's, you know, he's just fun to listen to.
These big, strong hands.
That was always the saddest part. The big rock monsters.
The rock eaters. Couldn't, or whatever.
He lost everybody. He was trying to hold on to all his friends, and they just slipped through his hands when the nothing came through.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. All right.
Put it on the list for Zach on film.
Oh, you haven't never watched Neverending Story, Zach?
Nope.
I'll give you a little spoiler. It actually has an ending.
Oh, false advertisement.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a sequel.
America. Yes, the Neverending
Story. So there has to be a sequel. If the first one never ended, there couldn't be a sequel.
It's like Final Fantasy 13.
Part 2. Final Fantasy 13 X25 Advent Children of the Corn.
Oh, Children of the Corn. Imagine Children of the Corn with a creepy English accent.
That's for British people, because they watch that movie and they're like, oh, American children.
Oh, there's nothing creepier than an American child.
With red hair. All right, everybody. That's our list of monsters. Now it's up to you to go over to majorspoilers.com and share your thoughts on what your favorite monsters are. Be descriptive. But don't be too descriptive, because some of us read the website at night right before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that could be dangerous, because then I have to go and wake up my child and say, listen to this. Hey, now Rob, go back to sleep.
The one that you were talking about that we couldn't talk about because it was one?
Mm-hmm.
Did it rhyme with blender pan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, boy. That's one.
We're not talking about it, though, because I have to sleep at some point tonight.
Yeah, boy. That's how we're going to dress Zach up as Halloween this year. But
no, that would be a good one.
I think it would be a good one. A really good one.
Actually, know very little about Blender Man.
Should you fit in?
That's okay.
We do he's not tall, speak of it.
But and I really hope it's. I hope Blender Man is the guy that does the Will It Blend videos on YouTube.
All you need is a white body, one of those white body stockings, you know, the thing that covers up your head, you know, so you can wear the full body suit, but it's white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That way you just have that for your face, and then you just need to dress you in a dark suit.
But what is he? Like, I don't know. Everyone talks about him.
Well, we do not speak of it.
That's a whole show in and of itself.
Oh, okay.
All right, everybody.
Don't freak me out.
Next time,
come and find
top
you.
Five Blender Man stories.
He's behind you, Matthew.
There's nothing behind me but a wall.
He's reaching out to you right now.
He is.
Will Matthew blend?
Why are you blending me with a kitten?
It's a low setting.
Low setting. Little kittens patting it around.
Fun frappe.
Oh, this episode would be so much more fun if it was a video podcast, but alas, it is not. It is just audio for your ears. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas for future shows, or would like to sponsor a show, send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Visit majorspoilers@majorspoilers.com and be sure to check out the Major Spoilers Forum. You can also follow Major Spoilers on Twitter at twitter.com/majorspoilers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.